May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 629. The Lord will feed the poor, nor shall their fare be mean. Rich blessings are in store in grace's magazine, from which rich treasure Christ will feed the hungry soul that feels his need. 629.
From the Song of Solomon, the first three chapters. The Song of Solomon, the first three chapters. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chamber. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. The mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, thy spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among these sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart, Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stair, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. By night, on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, And behold, King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousal, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Dear Lord, we come to thee, of whom we have read in thy holy word this morning, that King of kings and Lord of lords, yet he who did stoop to come into this world and to take into union with thy deity, glorious body and soul, to come here to suffer and bleed and die for thy dear church. Dear Lord, we see, as we enter thy house this day, union, communion, fellowship with thyself. We trust thou knowest that we have tasted it here below, and Lord, we would taste it again and again. Lead us once again, we beseech thee, to that blood-sprinkled mercy seat, that we may come to thee in all our needs, with our immortal soul, in the face of time and eternity, that we may be found in him, not having our own righteousness, but his which is from above. Upon this congregation this morning we beseech thee. O, may the light of thy truth shine in each heart, from the youngest to the eldest. We pray, Lord, for that new heart, that heart of flesh, that thou wouldst take away the heart of stone. And O grant that hunger and thirst after thy righteousness, that I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but his which is from above. That we may each be found ready to stand before thy face. And as we come to thee, oh, may we ever remember, 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Lord, we need that blessed intercession. We read of the Holy Spirit of truth, who maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Come, Lord, and undertake for us each. And all that thou seest we stand in need of. May we have in our hearts those sacred things which we have made, touching the King. That revelation of thyself to us in our hearts, that we may commune with thee from off thy mercy see, and have a sweet home, as thy dear servant desired that I might be found in him, united, said one, to Jesus the Vine. I have life, health, and righteousness too. This he will teach me in time. Without him, I nothing can do. Lord, move and work in this congregation. Send down those showers of blessing and hear prayer, that there might be the work of thy Spirit manifest in its fruits. Seed sown bringing forth fruit. Seed sown in good ground. Lord, thou art the preparer of the ground. Thou said, I will work. We know that some seed falls by the wayside, but some into good ground. Gracious God, we pray that thou would grant a hearing ear. Heavenly desire, hungerings and thirsting for thy mercy to be known in the heart. Look down, we pray thee, Lord, thou hast sovereign purposes. Oh, how solemn they are. One shall be taken and another there. Two shall be grinding in the mill. One shall be taken and another left. Gracious God, we pray that thou would work according to thy sovereign will, that there might be in the churches a building up, a gathering out and a gathering in. Strangers may be brought in. Prodigals may be brought back. And Lord, those that merely attend the house of God may be brought to come in love, in desire, in hunger, in thirst. We read in thy holy word, go thy way forth. By the footsteps of the flock. And oh, may there be many who shall hear that divine commandment. The Lord, we know the footsteps of the flock are identical in every generation. They change not. They are the steps of the flock that follow the good shepherd. And Lord, we would be mindful of the pathway that thou didst walk. Suffer it, thou didst say to John the Baptist, to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. O gracious God, thou hast ordained the footsteps of the flock in Zion. How many walk in them? The steps of the Master. The steps that he walked in this world. Humbling himself. Becoming obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. And Lord, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We may try and obtain grace to help in time of need. O Lord, look down. Thou seest thine own workmanship. Thou seest individually the exercises of each heart that thou hast brought to know thee, and the desire. All is known to thee here in this congregation this morning. Nothing is hidden from thine eye. Lord, what a mercy it is. If there is a desire, there is a concern, there is an exercise, there has been a beginning, There has been that mighty work of the new birth. There has been a separation from this world that lies in wickedness, in heart, and lip, and conduct, and conversation. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bring thine own work to fruition. There may indeed be a desire to follow in the footsteps of the flock. And there may be that heavenly commandment given, as we believe there has been, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. And said our Master stood the fiery test. We shall stand through him. And Lord, we desire his strength. We know our own weakness. We feel it much. The solemn weakness of unbelief. Many fears, many temptations, many exercises of heart and soul. The gracious God, we seek an inner strength, a divine strength, the anchor of hope, the strength of living faith. When thou dost bring us to anchor in thyself, and to know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Oh, may there be manifest from this pulpit, in the foolishness of preaching, by thy sent servants. May there be manifest in the hearts of the congregation. An evident reality lying in the things that are preached. An evident reality lying in the hearts of thy dear servants whom thou hast sent to preach the gospel. Realization, Lord, that they have something that thou hast given them. And oh, a desire given to possess it in the hearts of the people. Maybe an earnest seeking. For there thou knowest, Lord, lieth the sweet fellowship of the gospel. John said, if we have fellowship with him, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Gracious God, may there be known here that atoning blood upon heart and conscience, that divine washing, that plunging in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. May there be heard in the soul the words of Christ, ye are washed, ye are clean, through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, so shall ye bring forth much fruit. O gracious God, we affectionately commit into thy dear hands, who will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. Thy one church, thy dear Zion, the day which come in these dark and evil times in our nation, the love of many waxes cold, and few come to thy solemn feet. There's a great mingling. Worldliness is upon every hand. Darkness is over the land. Thy name is mocked. Thy holy day desecrated. Thy word despised. The Lord, there is a remnant saved according to the election of grace. And thou hast eternally loved and determined to gather into thy heavenly kingdom. That thou hast said, I will bring. Lord, we pray thou wouldst bring them. And come and move and work by thy Spirit. And grant, gracious God, that there may be fruit to thine honour and glory. We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now I said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, to one who understands our case, knows our needs, and has promised to strengthen us, and does strengthen us with all might in the inner man. Strength in Christ, said one, I fain would have. We seek it, Lord, this day. We may know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We may be enabled to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hopes to stay. We may be enabled to open our mouth wide, and thou hast promised to fill it. Look down then, we pray thee. Those who feel empty, far off, hungry, dead, cold, lifeless, and draw near, and oh, grant life, and grace, and strength, and peace in the heart. Lord, we pray for thy dear people in sickness and affliction. Peculiarly for those who are facing the Jordan of death. The dear servant, Lord, if still in the body, commend him into thy dear hand. Dear Mr. Wood, Lord, as he draws near his journey's end, deepest affection, Lord, we commend him to thee. Lighten his darkness. Strengthen him in his most holy faith. Grant him the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And be with him in the valley of the shadow of death. Many others who walk under great clouds of darkness. Lord, we pray. As I tried, exercised and tempted people, the day was put those everlasting arms underneath them. And they may know the eternal God is their refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Thou art he who changes not, has promised thy dear church, in all her weakness, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Upon the young, Lord, we pray for them. Growing up, life, largely before them, Lord, we pray. And thou wouldst give them grace, divine grace, to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, while the evil days come not. Oh, have mercy upon them. Teach them by thy Spirit. Establish them in the truth. Call them out of nature's darkness. Hold them by thy mighty arm. Use them in their own day and generation, according to thy sovereign will and purposes. O grant that they may ever be kept from turning their back upon the truth. But O guide them. Lead them in all the steps of life's pathway. May they know thy leading. May they walk in the light of thy countenance. May they know thy approbation. May they ever seek divine guidance, that they may be kept by path meadows. Lord, for Satan is a subtle foe. We never realize the depths of his subtlety. But oh, we pray that thou wouldst keep us. Man said, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim, through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me by thy powerful hand, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. And Lord, we seek that divine guidance, that thou wouldst lead and guide the young as they grow up, and Lord, that they may ever be kept by the power of God. Thou hast commanded us to pray for those in authority over us. Pray for the Queen. Pray for the royal household. Pray for the Prime Minister, his cabinet, our parliamentary assemblies in Lords and Commons. O gracious God, may there be Obadiahs around the throne, a godly witness in the Privy Council. O raise up God-fearing men in our government and parliament. Even but a few. Lord, we believe there are some. We pray they may be given strength to speak, and thy voice may be heard in this evil day, far removed now from the day when our King, in the last great war, called the whole nation to prayer. When nationally we witnessed great answers to prayer in battle. Lord, how far we have departed from thee, and what great evils and darkness, liberalism, humanism, atheism, sweeping the land and the churches, and what a tiny remnant is left. Yet, gracious God, we believe there is a remnant. And oh, we pray that thou wouldst hear their cry and turn this land once again to thy holy day and thy holy word and to thyself. Preserve for us our national independence. Preserve for us our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution. And oh, in these dark and evil times, have mercy upon us. Now, Lord, look down upon us this day, and come and make one with us in the midst. We seek the anointing of thy Spirit. Thou hast touched our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar, and fill, Lord, our earthen vessel, as we would seek these mercies, the pardon and forgiveness of every sin, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 135. 135. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. 135.
Your attention this morning to the 45th Psalm and reading the first verse. The 45th Psalm, reading the first verse. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My pen is the pen of a ready writer. This word speaks the desire of a heart upon which the Lord has moved by his Spirit. I ask you this morning, do you understand it? Can you speak, or can't you? What you know of Christ? Do you know anything of him? You have all heard his name. How many of you can truly say that you know him? That he has spoken to you? Hey, Solomon, if you must answer that question and say no, I've never heard his voice. The psalmist here in this word, my heart is inditing a good matter. What was flowing here from his heart, and as the margin says, it was boiling up in his soul. He had to speak. There were things that his God had said to him and done for him and spoken to him. And his lips were open to speak of them. How solemn to be dumb in these matters and have nothing of which you can speak and come to the end of your days. Nothing. Mercy to have a crumb you can speak of that the Lord has given you. I once went to the dying bed. I may have spoken of it here. An old man who had attended the chapels all his life, and his lips had been sealed. He had never said a word. When I visited him on his dying bed, I can see that scene now. And I said to him, Charlie, have you got anything to die on? And he said, nothing. And he wept and wept. And I pursued it. I said, nothing, Charlie. And he replied, nothing. But I didn't give up. I said, nothing, Charlie. Then he said, well, and he said, when the Lord's servant preached in Studley Chapel, where he'd attended all his days, he said, I came out of the chapel one Sunday, and such was the sweetness of that word in my soul, the time of love will come. And he said, I said to myself, I'll go and hear him at Allington this afternoon, and if he quotes that word, I shall believe it came from the Lord. The Lord's servant went to the very last sentence of his sermon. And as he sat down, he said, the time of love will come. Or on a dying bed. To be able to speak. And that dear man could. He had but a crumb. But the Lord had done something for him. Christ said, faith is a grain of mustard seed. Where do you stand this morning in these solemn matters? I speak. My heart speaketh. Can you speak? Has the Lord visited your soul? My heart is inditing a good matter. You know, that sweet little word, good matter, is a precious matter. It's something that is worth more than anything in this world to you. If the Lord has himself entered your heart, circumcised your ears, opened them to hear the truth in your own soul, and you can say with the Lord's servants, I know One said, I know the Apostle Paul in whom I have believed and am persuaded. Dear Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And there was a opening of the lips when the Lord's servant Philip was directed to go into the desert to the Ethiopian eunuch, the stranger who'd come up to Jerusalem seeking to understand the word of God and was travelling through the desert reading the prophecy of Isaiah. What a sight we have. Blessed sight. The Lord constrained his servant to go and join the chariot. There he was reading. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep dumb before its shearers. So he openeth not his mouth. Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Himself or some other man? Beginning at that scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. You know, when the Lord sends his dear servants to preach the gospel, and they walk in divinely directed paths, the Lord works. He uses their labours. The word of truth drops into the hearts of his living family. Those who have a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. There is a hearing, there's a benefiting, there's a profiting, and there was with the eunuch. The mind goes to Nicodemus, came inquiring, ashamed to be seen in the day. He came by night. Jesus didn't despise him. I've seen such a sweetness in that of late. Here was the man ordained of God who would carry his body in love to the tomb with Joseph of Arimathea. Here he stood before his Redeemer. Here he was being taught. He was to go a long time, several years. Still among the Pharisees before that work came to fruition. And no longer, as he saw his Lord hanging on that cross, could he hide his light under a bushel. He had to come. Out into the open he came. In the glare of all that that was going on, they all saw that he was a follower and one who loved his Lord. And he came forth. Took the body to the tomb. But oh, how the Lord taught him, ye must be born again. And that truth fastened in his dear heart. He was born again. It became manifest to the Pharisees. They said to him, art thou one of them? Lovely word, isn't it? Art thou one of them? Are you one of them? Will the godless world detect in your life that you're one of them? They do detect it. They detected a change, those self-righteous Pharisees in Nicodemus. He was one of the Lord's dear children. My heart is indicting a good matter. There was a work of grace begun. No longer silence. Lips of the dumb shall speak. Ears of the deaf shall hear. And there will be a coming forth. Heart will boil up. It's as though the dear servant of God's heart here in this psalm boiled over. He had to speak of those things the Lord had done for him. And he could pen these beautiful words, my heart is indicting a good matter. It is a matter in my soul which is precious to me. It is something which the Lord has done for poor unworthy me, unworthy of the least of all his benefits. A poor sinner who has known that the Lord loves him, who has known something of his precious blood upon their heart and consciences. They cannot remain silent. They have to speak of what he's done. There is a loosing of the tongue. There is a freedom given, a liberty. For long there may well have been bondage. Silence. If you walked in bondage for years, it's often when the storms of life come, the fields, as it were, of tribulation, into which the Lord calls his dear children, that they begin to cry to him and their tongues are loosed to speak. The tribulations that the Lord brought Job through were the means of bringing him to speak of his Redeemer. He went through seas of trouble and then he came out into a good place. And it was all, as the Rutherford says in his lovely hymn, my web of time he wove. And e'en the dews of sorrow were lustered with his love. There was the web of time worked out by God. And in it lay salvation and divine mercy. My heart, where are you this morning? Is it indicting a good matter? Is there that locked up in your soul which the Lord has done for you and given you? Have you a sweet hope that he has begun with you? Blessed mercy, when you can speak of it. When it boils over, love to him. And he draws near. I speak of things that I have made touching the King. My pen is the pen of a ready writer. Now, I will go on in this psalm this morning to look at the things which the dear psalmist had made. It's a simple expression. It means simply this: what had been revealed to him. Those things that he gathered up as he journeyed onward in his knowledge of his God. When the eunuch was in the desert, Christ was revealed to him as the Son of God in that chariot. It was done through the lips of the Lord's servant Philip, but the mighty power of the Holy Spirit wrought in his heart. And when Philip preached unto him Jesus, Christ was revealed in his heart. And he knew him. Thus thou believe with all thine heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, there is the operative word, the Son of God. Oh, to see, as this dear psalmist did. The Apostle Paul quotes from this psalm in the first of Hebrews. And it is to see here what he saw. I speak of things that I have made, touching the King. And it's this: thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. It is to have a view by faith of the eternal Son of God and to know Him whom to know is life eternal. I speak of the things that I have made, those things that have been revealed to me touching the King. And here is the primary one. Who is Jesus? When He revealed Himself to His dear servant Peter, what a blessed view Peter had. Whom say men that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said to him, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. There was a view by faith. Oh, where do you stand? Where are you this morning? Apostle said of this, that I might know Him. Beautiful word. And the power of His resurrection. Having fellowship with Him in His suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. You know, they're solemn words. To know Him is to follow Him in His footsteps. Think it not strange. These are the footsteps of Christ. Concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are made partakers of the sufferings of Christ. The Lord walked the path of suffering. He calls His dear people into it, that they might be brought, as the apostle prayed, to know Him and have fellowship with Him. In His I speak of the things that I have made, touching the King. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, how His church are the same, that I might know Him. Solemn path to walk in. I speak of the things that I have made. Oh, where are you? Have you ever known any sweet fellowship with Him? I say this to you, young ones, life is before you, and we know not what lies before any one of you. But I look back over my own life, and the very first sermon I ever heard with any prophet, the text was, through much tribulation, ye shall enter the kingdom. Never shall I forget that night, but I look back now over my life and the years that lie behind and all the content of that tribulation, and it's not finally over yet. But what a solemn pathway it is. And we know not what lies before you. Some of you have already walked in deep tribulation. But here I speak of the things that I have made, touching the King. I have pleaded His name, and He has answered my prayer. But oh, to go that step further and to know that He is your God, your Saviour, your Redeemer, and to know something of the sweetness of His love and blood that lies here. Because the psalmist says here, regarding his King, thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, what a beauty he saw in Christ. What love he saw. What mercy he saw. There was something in him that exceeded all things below. The Song of Solomon, which we read this morning, has some beautiful passages regarding the beauty of Christ. But one is this. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy, black as ravens. And so he goes on, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. To know the sweetness of his presence, to know the blessedness of his atoning love and blood, to feel those everlasting arms of love and mercy beneath us. We have to go into the valleys to do it, but then to go on to have fellowship with him in his sufferings, we have to enter in to his pathway. Despised, rejected of men, man of sorrows, we have to walk in his pathway that he walked in his sufferings. Very sweet to me some years ago in a operation when under great weakness they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. Oh, the blessedness of these truths. But this is the pathway to learn that he is fairer, to learn what that love to him is. Not only to know he is the eternal Son of God, but to know he is our God. And to know him for ourselves. To be delivered from an empty form of religion. To know the kernel, the life, the power, the sweetness of the truth in our hearts. And to have him revealed to us in all his glory and power and blessedness. And then the psalmist goes on to speak of his sword. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh. This sword of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul speaks of. The Lord was to be, as he said, the church of God was to take under them the whole armour of God. And one of those weapons they had to take was the sword of the Spirit. And here we read of the sword of Christ. Oh, what a sword it is. It divides asunder between the sheep and the goats. It enters the heart of the sheep in conviction and condemnation. It separates from this world. It brings into sincerity and in truth. And he speaks here, he goes on to speak of the arrows of the Almighty and how they are sharp in the hearts of God's dear people. I say to you this morning, what do you know of conviction? You may have heard of it, but have the arrows of divine condemnation entered into your heart with power that they have brought you to your knees in confession before God? That is a great mercy, you know. A religion without that sword in the heart, that word of God which is described as sharper than any two-edged sword, is not worth anything, valueless. But to know the sword of God's Spirit in your heart, the arrows of condemnation in your soul, to feel your sins and the guilt of them, will bring you to great darkness of soul, bring you to feel your lost condition, bring you to realize how empty you are and how barren you are. But what a mercy if in to those wounds that the Spirit makes in the soul by this mighty sword divine, there is poured the balm of the precious blood of Christ. Then you will be able to speak of things that you have made touching the King. Then you will have such liberty that your pen will be the pen of a ready writer. Oh, this sacred liberty that the Lord gives to his dear people. Your lips will be open. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. The lips of the eunuch were open. The lips of the Lord's servant Peter were open. And the lips of so many in the scriptures. Open. Open. No longer shut. Open to speak of what he has done in their hearts. And it is very solemn. If those lips are shut to the end of their days, nothing is ever said. All lies hidden. There is a blessed pathway in which the Lord determines to bring his dear people into union one with another. Nothing is more sweet, as you well know here in the past week, than coming to the meeting of the church, where there is a union and communion in a confession of a knowledge of Christ. It is a work of God's Spirit. It is something not to be despised. Here is the heart of the Church of Christ. Fellowship one with another in that precious fountain of his blood, open for sin and all uncleanness. And I say to you here this morning, what is it to be left outside of that secret? Oh, consider it. The disciples of Christ were one together, but there was one left out of the secret. He was Judas. They were great sinners. Peter denied his Lord to his face with oaths and curses. And he was no different naturally to Judas. And yet, in that solemn state, the secret was in his heart, never to be destroyed. And he was to go out and weep bitterly, and to live to speak of his Lord, and to pen his epistle on the preciousness of the blood of Christ to his soul, and to save his Redeemer, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, to know pardon and peace. There was a purpose fulfilled. But, oh, the separation. Where are you? Are you out of the secret? How many of you here this morning have nothing whatever to speak of? How many of you here this morning whose heart is not boiling over? Or are there some of you here who are reaching that blessed point, that boiling point, if I may speak reverently, when the day is fast hastening, when you will have to speak and can no longer sit here in silence, but will be called into this sacred place, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak, I must speak, of the things which I have made touching thee, King. My tongue is a pen, a ready writer. It is a beautiful place to come to. It is the spot that the Lord has determined his dear people shall come to, that they shall honour him in their lives. No longer secret disciples for fear, but be brought into glorious liberty of the children of God, and be brought to speak of their King and what he means to them, what he has done for them, what they have known of him, the love that they have felt, his love in their souls, his precious blood that they have known in their hearts, that they can say that Christ is God, I can avouch, and for his people care, for I have prayed to him as such, and he has heard my prayers. The psalmist goes on here to speak, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And those are the things. You mark them. Truth. Oh, it is the work of the Spirit to teach and lead to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. There is a scripture often misquoted. It's misquoted in this way. The truth as it is in Jesus. That's a total misquotation. The truth as it is in Jesus. There can be truth elsewhere. In Jesus, Muhammad, in Buddha, wherever we may lie. But no, the scriptures say, as the truth is in Jesus. There's no truth out of him. Oh, has the Lord taught you the truth? Not in your head, but in your heart. Has it been laid firmly there? I pointed one great truth here this morning. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. To have such a sight of Christ as the eternal Son of God incarnate, who alone was able to bear the sins of his whole church in his incarnation. But meekness. Christ said, blessed are the poor in spirit. It is the work of grace to produce poverty. Humility. Brokenness and contrition of heart. Moses was a meek man, but he struck the rock in anger. And for that he was barred from the promised land. The meekness that is spoken of here is not Moses' meekness. It is the meekness of Christ. It is to be humbled, to be made as a little child, and to be brought down before the King of Kings. All pride gone in self, humbled at his mercy seat. To come to this great lover, Jesus, our eternal lover, says for him, says his word shall never fail. To be brought down at his mercy seat, humbled. To come like dear top lady, nothing in my hand I bring. This is what he was speaking of, the things that he'd made, touching the King, and then righteousness. Ah, the only righteousness which will stand you and me in good stead in that great day when we must all stand before the judgment throne of Christ. And how many have gone from this place since I first preached here, and gone out into eternity. And God alone knows those who were clothed in his righteousness and those who weren't. Where will you stand in that great day? Will you be clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Will you know something of his precious blood? And that glorious robe of righteousness which he wrought out here below. We read in this same psalm that the Church of Christ, the King's daughter, she's called here, is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be wrought unto the King in raiment of needlework. What is that needlework? I believe this, as this whole psalm refers to Christ in its entirety. I believe this. It is his life here below in his obedience to his Father's holy law that he wrought out that robe of needlework. In all his holy actions and obedience, in every aspect of it, in thought, word and deed, he wrought out a solemn, sacred obedience for his dear church. And it is that robe. The bride has made herself ready. Are you ready? To stand, the bride has made herself ready. And to her was given that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean. And what is it? The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And it was woven by Christ. And the bride of Christ is all glorious within, is her heart. She is clothed in this gold that is spoken of here, which speaks of divinity. Her clothing is of wrought gold. It's divine. It's yours. Oh, there's a lovely hymn. How shall I stand in that great day? Who ought to my charge shall lay? Well, will you be in that position where no charge can be laid to you? And that you're clothed, as Count Zanzendorf said in his lovely hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Some of you young ones listening this morning may say to yourself, it's completely above me. I say to you, has the Lord given you a desire that it may be brought down into your heart one day and your lips may be opened and you may come into this beautiful place of the glorious liberty of the children of God? Be able to say, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things that I have made, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. It doesn't matter whether it's young or old. I've seen it in both cases. Some brought to confess Christ the age of 80. To be able to speak of him. One dear man I loved and remember said hardly anything when he came before the church. But this he did say, and I was present. I should never forget how he said it. I believe. I can't say much, friends, but I can say this. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, the heart indicting a good matter. It's a divine matter. it's speaking well of Christ out of a sweet revelation of him. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £675, and the collection on Friday evening for the Trinitarian Bible Society to £2,087, for which we will be very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Broom is expected to address the Sunday School this afternoon and to preach tomorrow evening, followed by the ordinance of believers' baptism. And Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Mr. Ince next Lord's Day and hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. May we now close with hymn 730. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. 730.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.